y'all would, let's go to Matthew 6. We start at verse 19 in just a moment. What I wanted to do is, I was sleeping. This message here came to me, what do you value? And it was something that the Father dropped into my heart, and he was dealing with me early in the morning. And what do you value? What do you value? And then all of a sudden, things started coming to me, which was way more than the props that I have here. So I started thinking about, naturally, we value our Heavenly Father. But he started bringing into my remembrance my dad and my mom, but mainly my dad. And he was dealing with me that I have an earthly dad and I have a heavenly dad. And the importance of our heavenly dad, and I'm going to be talking later. This is my story. And I also want to address later at the end dads and moms and in general. We will do that. With that said, as we're going through this teaching, and I really don't know which way and how it's going to go. I really don't know. The Holy Spirit will lead it, and we'll just go through it. I got my box of tissue up here, just in case. If y'all don't have tissue, just use your sleeves or whatever you got to use. And just, you'll be good with it. If you don't have sleeves, Keith, I don't know what, use Ava's sleeves. I don't know. Just, there you go. Just, that's why you have a helpmate. So, anyway. So in Matthew 6:19, it says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And what I've got up here, to me, these are treasures that's on earth, and I'm going to explain each one of these as we go. But he's saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So he's telling us it's okay to have treasures on earth. But at the same time, what he's saying, don't lay up for yourself. In other words, don't put your focus and don't put your heart in it. Don't put your trust in earthly treasures. Because earthly treasures will fail you. Amen? They cannot comfort. Only our heavenly dad, as great as our earthly dads may have been, and some just were not that good. I just want to say that. I had a great dad. And anyway, I had to look at Hannah. I don't know why. But anyway. Now look, I thought I'd at least get through three verses. Maybe I just need to look down and do this. But the thing about it is, it talks about the enemy will destroy those things that you think that you're going to lay up, the things that you think that are what you have to have. You will find out in the end, when it's time for you to go, you're going to find out that none of this matters. Okay, because here's what he says. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now look, I got to quit this. I got to do something better than this. I can't go through this thing this whole time doing this. But anyway, so, and I was doing this early in the morning. That's why he prompted me for this teaching. It's because he was really dealing with me, because Sukkot was such an awesome time. To see what happened to the young people and for the people as a whole. People who repented, people who asked forgiveness. When I sit there, and Don's not here, so, you know, he can talk to me later. But when I saw Don turn to his family and say, would you forgive me? You know, a father who loves his family, he loves them dearly. And but to know that he's not been the perfect dad, I've not been the perfect dad. But we try to be the dads that we know that we're supposed to be. A lot of times we as dads, we emulate our fathers before us. And if it was good, it was good. And if it was bad, it was just bad. And we'll get to that part later. But I just really, at Sukkot, I just really thought about how awesome it was for this next generation to come up and to love and understand who their heavenly dad is. Okay, so with that, hopefully I can get through this. It has nothing to do with me. But I wanted to read this story because I just came upon it. It says, thank Elohim. Now, they use the word God. I'm going to use the word Elohim. It says, thank Elohim for one cottage that burned. I want you to listen to this story. Now, this is up in Newfoundland, is where this was located, Newfoundland. And they fish up there. And they have ports, and this was a fishing village. And they have a fleet of ships. Now, a fleet of ships can be 3 ships, or it can be 30 ships, or it can be 300 ships. But I can imagine in a fishing village, when they all go out, when the fish is running and whatever they do, there's a handful of ships that go out. So this is a story about a fishing fleet. It says, years ago, a fishing fleet went out from a small harbor on the east coast of Newfoundland. In the afternoon, there came a large, furious storm. When night settled in, not a single fishing vessel of the fleet was in the harbor. All night long, the wind blew and thunder blasted. Wives and mothers and children, and the sweethearts labored all night in prayer for their loved ones out of the storm. They called on Elohim over and over to save their loved ones. Then add to the horror of the night, one of the houses caught fire. Since most of the men who were on the storm-tossed seas, it was impossible to save the house from burning to the ground. When morning broke, to the joy of all who labored in prayer, there was the fleet safe in the harbor. They all returned home. Everyone was home safe, yet in the joy-filled crowd, there was one sad face, and it was the picture of a despair of a wife of the man whose house had burned to the ground. Meeting her husband, as it came ashore, she rejoiced that he was alive, but she cried out in anguish. She said, honey, we're ruined. Our home and all the belongings. We're destroyed in the fire last night. But the man looked at her with excitement and exclaimed, thank Elohim for the fire. Then all the men around him said the same. And the woman looked confused. Then her husband said, when he announced, it was the light of that burning house that guided the whole fleet to safety. Number one. So anyway, I hope I don't use that old box. So I got to thinking, you know, here was a family that lost their house. But at the same time, a whole group of men who were out, could not, in a driving storm like a nor'easter, could not find their way back. But yet, prayer brought fire to someone's house. Somebody's house had to be sacrificed. But that man understood where the value was. It wasn't because you can replace a house, and you can replace certain things, but you can't replace the husbands, the fathers, the fiancés, the sons, and maybe daughters that were out there on that fleet and fishing. So a lot of times when something happens to us, and that's what the Father was sharing with me, sometimes when things happen and it's not too good, can we really look and see what the value, what are we placing our value in? What is the eternal value in some of the things that we lose and we get upset about when really, when we're talking about souls and we're talking about people's lives and stuff like that. So anyway, I thought that story was amazing. Okay, I'm going to see if this works. That's my mom and dad. I've talked about my dad many, many times, but probably nobody's ever known what he looked like. So anyway, I chose that picture because my mom looked better there. Amen. And my mom, she liked to look good. And so anyway, so I picked that picture from them. I don't know when it was taken. They were a lot older in their life in that time. I know he was in his 70s, might have been in his late 70s. And I hope I got my mom and dad DNA because I don't see any wrinkles on the forehead. I do see the hairline, so I know where I get it from. Amen. But anyway, so I wanted to give you a picture of him just as I'm going through and I'm talking. So where is William? I asked William to do something. Come up here, William, real quick. Do you guys know what this is? It's a boat paddle. Some people call it oar. I would probably call it an oar.
Some families, it's Mr.
Do-Right. Some families, it is definitely Mr. Do-Right. Okay. See, stand right there. Okay, for me, this is not a big thing. But whenever I was his age, you can hold it. Just be a prop. I'm going to use him as a prop. Whenever I was his age, I hated that boat paddle. My dad took me fishing a lot of times. But guess who was in charge to carry that thing? I was the one to carry it. I said, why do we need this boat paddle? And you got to understand something. Back in the day, remember when we would go to Josephine Sandbar? On our way there, there's two lakes right there on the side of the road. That's the Upper and Lower Rhine Lake. Back in the day, the road that you had to get off of was it. You had a little bitty pig trail, a four-wheeler trail. They didn't have four-wheelers back then. And we had a little Volkswagen, and he would stack everything in there, and that thing would be sticking out the window. We didn't go anywhere without that boat paddle. Because guess what? If that trolling motor or anything went out, we had to have this boat paddle. So I had to carry a life jacket. He didn't wear one, so why did I? But I was his age, so a life jacket, because Mama said, you ain't going off unless he has a life jacket. And this boat paddle. And I hated that boat paddle. I've towed that boat paddle hundreds of times. Because, guys, you got to realize, I've got a tackle box. I've got a fishing rod. And I got, naturally, I want to be ready. So I've got a lure on the end of it that's got treble hooks. And it's hanging up on every bush on my way back there to the lake. And I'm fighting this boat paddle. And there's no good way to handle that boat paddle when I'm that age taking all this other stuff. And Daddy's carrying his special stuff. But do you know the thing? Here we go again. You can go sit down. I don't leak all over you. But do you know that when my dad passed away, and I went in his shed, that was the first thing I saw. The first thing I saw was a boat paddle. I didn't hate it anymore. I would be glad to carry it. If you could have just, if we could have just had him back, you know, for one more fishing trip, I would have towed the boat and the boat paddle. You know what I'm saying? But it was so ironic for something that I didn't like for so long. I didn't throw it away. I couldn't throw this thing away. And oil's spilled on it in my shed because it didn't have the oil on it. But I just thought the very first thing, whenever he passed away and I went into our utility room to see, this is the first thing that I come across. And it was the thing that I despised the most. But then when I thought about it, because I'm older, these are the necessities that you have to have when you go fishing. That and a box of honey buns. You got to have food and you got to have a way to paddle. Because if you ever have your dad to turn around, and if you don't have this, to tie a rope on you, and he'll say, well, son, you're going to swim to shore to get us there, and you see them two alligators go right in between them. You know, you're glad to have a boat paddle, and then have one really big enough that you can pop a gator on the head with instead of them little bitty dudes. But I just thought about, in my life, I took things for granted. You know, and Tammy will tell you, that every time I come home from offshore, he would beat me home, or he would be there about 5 minutes after I got there. He just wanted to know that I was okay. Let's go. All right, here is Keith wondering if we was going to have a raffle. The answer is definitely no. Okay. My dad, which I'll tell you something, now this came from my brother. My brother gave me this as a gift. He gave me the scope, and he gave me the rifle as a gift. The reason why he gave this to me, He knew that I wasn't going to mortgage my home to get it. Because this, I'm not going to tell you the value of it, but this is very expensive. I mean, it is very expensive. But he knew, he's wealthy, he knew that I would never ever to be able to afford anything like this. So he got this for me because he loved me and he wanted to show value into my life because I'm home taking care of mom and dad while he's working in Texas and living there and my sister is in Florida. But he understood what it was to help take care of my family and take care of his mom and dad even though he couldn't be there. And he's bought me a handful of toys like this. You know, Tammy would say, well, why don't he buy something we can use? I said, girl, we can use this. What do you mean buy something that we can use? Amen? You go find you some offspring. Leave this one alone. Because I've had a lot of toys. And Caleb will let you know, I got a lot of toys. And they are very, very nice toys. But I will tell you this. Both of these are priceless because both of these come from people that love me and I love them very much. And here I go again. But there again, I just wanted to show you that even though in your eyes, if you went to a pawn shop and both of these were on sale for $10, I promise you, you would buy this one. But for me, they're both exactly the same. This is why I wanted to minister about value. What do we put value in? Because when it comes to family and when it comes to our children and when it comes to just life in general, our children for us are dependent on us to be the father, to be a great dad. Now, let's see which one. I had to write these down to go in order. All right, here. Let me see if I got the next one. I can't do that one. I don't know what I've done up here. Did I do that? Okay. This is why I wanted that $2 bill. But I want you to, first thing I want you to see is the coin. Do y'all know that that's a coin? It is Eisenhower. Daddy wore his nose off. But this is that coin. Daddy kept this coin for many, many years. Now, you got to understand, we were poor. My brother made it rich, but we were poor. And Daddy carried this coin. It's a silver dollar, but it isn't real silver all the way. It's got more silver in it, probably not, but they probably added a little bit of something to it. But my dad carried this coin with him every day for many years because he says, and I asked him, I said, Dad, what are you doing with that coin? He would put that and he would rub that coin. He said, as long as I have this, I'll never be broke. Because he knew what it was like to be broke. He knew what it was like not to have money during the week. He knew what it was like not to know how to feed us three kids. Now, my brother's 12 years older than me and my sister was 10. And so I'm the baby, so I was the spoiled one. So I didn't really go through all the stuff that Charles and Linda went through. But I do know the pictures, and I've seen it, and I've heard the stories about where they were poor. They just didn't have. Some of you probably can relate to that. Some of you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But it meant enough to my dad to keep this dollar, this silver dollar, all because of that. And it, when he passed away, and we took him to the hospital that night, and he said, I got to go. He told Mom, he said, I got to go. And she called me, and we took him up here to George County. We had to take him to Hattiesburg, and he passed away a few days later. We thought he was going to be fine. But whenever they gave him, my mom, the things back, this was there. Even when he went to the hospital, as hurting as he was, he never went anywhere without that coin because that's what it meant to him. So how much value do you think this coin means to me? This is like this other is priceless. Now, what I did do was, I talked to Asher, so I'm going to do something. But I didn't want to bring Asher up from it. Because Asher's probably a lot like me when I was a kid. Do not put me up front. or anything, but I want to give, this is my dad. This is your great-granddad's coin. I'm going to give it to you. This is yours. Now, this one's for me as a granddad, just to let you know what that's supposed to look like. Okay? Because he's the oldest McClendon son, and I wanted to pass it on to him. And Caleb knew my dad. He was young enough to know, so you can tell Asher some of the stories and really how much that really means. Okay, the $2 bill. Let me back up. Where's my windshield wipers? Here we go. Father, I told you, he put it on me. But you know, these children are worth more than that coin. And I appreciate the families that are raising godly seeds in their children and their families. Because when it's all said and done, Asher can take that little coin, what he can barely see, it's only worth a dollar. But to me, it's priceless. One day, when he understands the stories behind his great-granddad, and some of the stories as we sit around and maybe after all this craziness is over and we can spend more and more time together, he can know the history and all of that of what his great-granddad and how good of a guy he was and hear the stories because that's his DNA and it's important. Now, this $2 bill, Richard found it out there where I dropped it, getting toilet paper to put in the O'Neg. I'm so glad he found it. Because when my dad died, he had three $2 bills. And this is my inheritance. He gave each one of the children a $2 bill. And one of the $2 bills had stains on the back. And it's tobacco spit. The other ones were spotless. But which one did I want? The stained one. I'm going to tell you two stories. There it goes again. That thing is elusive. You hear me? There's two stories. The first story is my dad, there's really three. My dad was in the military. He got drafted and went to World War II. He was in World War II. He saw things that most people don't ever want to see. And it made him a nervous wreck. And so he started smoking over there. He would have a cigarette in each hand trying to find a light for the one in his mouth. He was just a nervous wreck. He saw death. He saw dismemberment. He took care of people. It was beyond. Asher, being a McClendon, and even Olivia, the thing about it is you don't really know how close that we were not to be here. Because when my dad went to Europe, and he was over in England, they were going to get on a ship. The whole battalion was on a ship, and they were going to cross the English Channel to go to France to help liberate France. What happened was my dad was there, and some higher-ranking officer, you got to realize, in World War II, it was chaos in a lot of things. They would grab you out. If they needed your help somewhere, they would grab you, and he was standing in line getting on the ship, and somebody of higher rank grabbed him and pulled him out of line and said, "Come here, Private, I need you." What's he going to do? He's a private. So he went with him, and he said, "Go get rations for 7 days, get a gun, get some bullets, get on that train and guard that train to its destination." So Daddy did what he said to do. So he went, and he got on that train. He got in that boxcar, and he stayed there about 2 or 3 days. He felt it hook up and left, and then they dropped it off somewhere. Well, he ran out of food, so he decided, I got to get out and get something to eat. So he opened the boxcar and everything. He got out, and he saw a town. So he went in it, and there was American soldiers there. And as they went through, they got him, and they pulled him, and they was going to arrest him for being AWOL because he wasn't with his group. Because he had told them who he was part of. But what happened was that night, when that ship sailed, a German U-boat sank and killed everyone on there. You don't really know your legacy. I wouldn't have been here because he wouldn't have been my dad, because he would have died in the English Channel. Asher wouldn't have been here, as Asher and Olivia, because they would have died in the English Channel. You just don't realize the hand of the Father on people's lives when people are praying for their loved ones when they're off at war. There was other people, there was a lot of people that died on that ship, but my dad didn't. And he dodged death all the way through that thing. And he didn't talk to me about a lot of stories, because it's tough. When they go, if you've been in the military, you know how tough it is sometimes when you've seen these stories. But anyway, so back to the deal. So my dad, when he got back, he smoked for a handful of years, and then he said, you know what? My mom said, you got to quit this. You're killing both of us. So he started chewing tobacco. That's where I'm going. So he started chewing tobacco because he had to have the nicotine. Mom said, it's the lesser of the two evils. I can deal with that. Just quit knocking over your spit tube, okay? So I lived in that for a lot of years, and I remembered the time when my mom hounded him about his tobacco, until finally one day he decided to quit. So he quit, and it was not pretty. After about 2 weeks of her going through what she went through, she called me in over here where that laundromat, it was called Nixon's Grocery. There was a little grocery store. She called me in there and she gave me some money. She said, go get your dad some tobacco. Are we going to get a divorce? She said, go get him some tobacco. And I said, yes, ma'am, I will. And I went over there and got him a big old pack of Red Man. And I'm going to tell you, he was happier than when I was born. Because I'm telling you, he was like, if you ever seen people chew tobacco, they put that dude, he had a claw. Look, I'm just saying, that's just that. And he was sitting there with a big old cheek with a smile on his face. And mama was happy, because now there's peace in the home. You just don't know about addiction sometimes, but that nicotine, what it done to him, but it mellowed him out. Anyway, there was one thing about the tobacco, and this is why, because I have, look, there's a ton, I can't tell them all, there's a ton of tobacco stories with my dad, but I am going to tell this one. One day we was out there playing, my dad was in the backyard, him and my mom and the neighbors, Mr. and Miss Catlett, and they were sitting in their lawn chairs, and I'm in my backyard, we're playing ball, and my dad said, hey, Mark, go in there and get my tobacco and bring me that tobacco. I said, I am busy. Don't you see how important this is? I'm playing ball. He says, get yourself in that house and get me my tobacco. Oh. So just as, you know, how gracious those kids are, griping the whole way in there because I'm playing ball. Hold on, guys. I got to go get his tobacco. So I go running in the house to get his tobacco. And I see his brand new pack there. And I had a little bitty black rubber snake that long. So I opened that pack of tobacco, and I put that little black rubber snake in that dude. I sealed that dude up. I said, I got you tobacco, big boy. So I ran over to the neighbor's house. As I was running, I took the tobacco. I flipped it in his lap, and I went on back to the house. Well, sure enough, now Mr. Catlett, deathly afraid of snakes. Dad, he pops that tobacco thing open, and he's doing his hand in there like you do. And when Dad come out, there that snake was dangling. Yeah, and he threw that snake in Frank Catlett's lap. Frank Catlett, now we had lawn chairs back then. Frank Catlett flipped backwards out of the line, started coughing, took the lawn chair, beat the rubber snake, slammed to death. My daddy said, Mark, I was gone. That happened right over here. I was down at the end of the street around the corner. I didn't come back till supper. That's a true story. Now, when I got back, daddy said, if it wouldn't have been so funny, he said, I would have beat you with that boat paddle. Because we got whoopings back in the day. But I said, you know what, that was suicidal. But Sometimes our dads put up with us boys. That was crazy. And when I did it, but man, I'm telling you, he destroyed that lawn chair too. He beat that lawn chair to death. No, don't try that on your fathers. So anyway, but since the tobacco stories, and like I said, that's why when I saw this one here, because he had passed away, and Mama said, this was your inheritance. And when I saw the stain, I said, this was mine. Of all the hardship that I caused him with all of that, you know, so this is why this, to me, is priceless. Let's see, where do we want to go now? Let's go to, let me just say this. Let's go to Proverbs 3:13. Now, I want to say this. Everybody didn't have a good dad or maybe a good mom. I'm just going to throw that out there. You might not have had good parents or a parent. I know there's a handful here that can't relate to the stories with me. But here's what the Father is, Father, because we all have a heavenly dad, and he is awesome all the time. Amen? Amen. He is always, no matter what happens to us in our life. But what he was really ministering to me to tell everybody is, number one, do not allow bitterness to be set up in your heart because of what you might have gone through and what you might have missed. At the same time, what you need to do is you need to learn to forgive, as hard as it is, to forgive. And the other thing is you need to be that good dad that you might not have had, or that good mom, or that good person, because some people might not have had children. I didn't know Jeremiah was going to sing the song Scars. But I'm like, heavenly days, here we go again. And the last song that sets this up, the thing about it is some of us, we may not have children. And you may have a story. You have a story to tell. This is my story, but you have a story to tell. And we have scars in our life. And the thing about it is there's other families and there's other people that are coming in life right now that are having the same situation that you walked through. And if you're filled with bitterness, and this is what the Father was telling me to tell you guys, if you're filled with bitterness and unforgiveness, what happens is you can't help these people. But if you can find a place in your heart that you can forgive, and a place in your heart that you can allow our heavenly dad to be what we need to be. Because a lot of times in our life, what happens to us is we wake up one day and we'll see that I was a lot like my dad. And then we go through what we go through. But the Father, Yahweh Elohim, wanted me to tell you guys that when we repent and forgiveness is granted, He remembers that no more. And He wants you to be able to turn your energy. Remember we talked about on Rosh Kodesh, we need to be energy givers, not energy takers. And there's times in our life to where we can, even though we might not have, we might have messed up in our life, the Father can redeem that. And He can redeem it, and we can be the people that He needs us to be. Mothers, dads, are people who might have gone through situations in our life. Because our Heavenly Father, because I will tell you, I love my dad, but my dad wasn't perfect. And I've been a dad, and I'm going to tell you, I wasn't perfect. But that's why we need grace, and we need mercy, and we need repentance, and we need forgiveness. Because it is so important. What am I going to do with my life from now on? What am I going to do with my life now on? I can't do things that I wished I could go back years ago and do. But I'm 61 years old, and I'm a grandpa. And I'm still a dad. And whatever mistakes I might have made back then, the Father has given me opportunity to where I can do something now. But I can't make it happen, but He can bring it to happen when I'm ready. He knows when my heart is ready to be able to minister something to one of my loved ones. That's why it's so important. But if I've got bitterness in my heart, He's not going to bring somebody in there when I've got bitterness, because all I'm going to do is spew bitterness. But whenever I can come and make reconciliation with myself and with Him, and understand, because He is the super dad. Amen. He is the super mom. He is the super family. And what he can do is he can make all things that's a mess, he can make it right. The best that it can make right, he can make it right. And he can make a gumbo taste good. You understand what I'm saying? So he can take misfits and things like that, and he can make a good gumbo out of it. So the Father just, I don't know who that's for. Might be for a handful, but it was for me also. That it ain't over. And there is so much that we can still give to our children, our children's children. And like I said, if you don't have children, there's so much you can give to a body of believers to be able to, that may be going through some things in their life that you don't know. You know, because it is what it is. There's pain and there's hurt. And I understand the pain and the hurt. I do understand that because I went through some of it. But I will just, let me just say it like this too. Whenever my dad passed away and I got the news, I thought for whatever reason, I thought time should have stopped just for a moment. But it didn't. The birds were singing and they were happy. Life was going on just like nothing had ever happened. And it is the funniest thing whenever something happens to us like that. Because we want, in my life, I wanted at least a pause to happen. You know, to give me time. But it didn't. Because the Father, He loves us all. He understands it. Adam created this mess. He told him before, the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. So death happens. Aging happens and all of this stuff happens. But the thing is what are we going to do with the life? And this is what he's ministering to me, even right now. What am I going to do with my life right now that I can better this community? I can better my grandchildren. I can better the people that I'm around and not worry about those things that I can't control in the past. Amen? So just know that we have opportunities. It isn't over in our lives. Amen? We have hope. Okay, verse 13. I did pretty good. I've only used two of these things. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Okay, this word finds here has the meaning, blessed is the one who obtains by seeking. The word find here means who obtains by seeking. In other words, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. It doesn't say, blessed is the one who stumbles on it. We have to seek it. We have to seek it to obtain it. And then he says, and the one who gets understanding. We're going to see, because it ties in with the next verse. So the word gets here means to draw out its metal by digging. So you see, blessed is the one who finds wisdom by obtaining, by seeking, and the other one is blessed is the one who draws it out as digging for gold. In other words, there's a way to do this. You're not going to stumble upon this in your life. You just can't go through life and expect to be. You have to seek and you have to get. It says, for the gain of her, talking about wisdom and understanding, is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. And these are precious metals. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her way are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. Let's run over to Proverbs 8:8. Now, the reason why I'm bringing these scriptures out, because these are words from our Heavenly Dad. Our Heavenly Dad is trying to teach us and tell us something. And if we can get this, then I think we can be the people on this earth that we need to be, whether we're a dad, whether we're a mom, whether we're just a husband or wife, or just an individual that may not ever marry. And it says this, all the words of my mouth are righteousness, and there is nothing twisted or crooked in them. So he's going to shoot it straight with us. He's not hiding anything from us. He's going to tell us exactly the way it is. His ways from His mouth are righteous, and they're not crooked or twisted. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Now, as you're going to Proverbs 22, in these scriptures that I read to you, these items up here are priceless to me. This $2 bill, $1 million, is not worth this. And I know people are sitting back there, that means to me, crazy. You don't know what this means to me. You don't know what that boat paddle means to me. You don't know what when my brother gives me story. But whenever you're that means to me, it doesn't mean anything to you because it's not your story. But whenever you're able to grab something and you're able to have a piece of you and to be able to see where I'm at, to see where my dad was at, and to see where Asher's at, and my other grandchildren from Hannah's side and Olivia, where they're at, I am beyond blessed to have awesome grandkids. You know what I'm saying? You just don't know how much. But they're worth more than all of this stuff. But Yahweh is worth more than all of this stuff. Amen? Because when I thought about this when I was reading the scriptures, if you look at the old boat paddle, that dude is old. I don't even know. Like I said, I was probably 7, 8 years old. I don't even know. It probably wasn't the Civil War. But anyway, but this old thing, it has been starting to split and all of the, but it's hung in there for a long time for just an old piece of wood. But the beautiful thing about this thing is this. It's not, and this is what the Father showed me in this. It's not that it's a boat paddle, but it has memories. And he was teaching me about Leviticus 23. That's why we do the feast. Because they're memorials. It helps us to remember, and it keeps it alive. It keeps the Egypt story alive. It keeps the Passover story alive. It keeps that alive in our lives because that connects us to him because of the appointed times and seasons. And so he uses things. When we messed up, we have to wear tzitzit. Because of sin, it's a reminder. And so I thought about this old boat paddle whenever I was doing this teaching and I brought it together. I said, right, this is Leviticus 23. I could just write it right here on the paddle. Because that's what these reminders are, but this is not my Elohim. Amen? This is not. If I can further a relationship with Yahweh, with anybody, I would give this away. Because this is not important than our relationship. As much as this thing is important to me, our relationship is way more important than this piece of wood. Because in the end, it's a piece of wood. I will tell you, for those who knew my dad, this next scripture means a lot to me that I'm going to read. Because whenever he passed away, my dad used to, man, it's almost like a Father's Day message. And I didn't mean it to be that way, but I just use him as an example to show you how great our Heavenly Dad is. But yet what he expects of me and you. My dad used to go around old folks' homes. And he was older than most of the people in the old folks' homes. And I remember the day he come and he said, boy, don't you ever put me in one of them old folks' homes. Don't you ever do that. You hang with me however you got to do it, whatever. Don't ever put me in one. But he used to do it. But when he passed away, there was 4 homes that he visited. Every one of those homes sent him flowers. Because he was there every week visiting these people. Every week he went in there and visited these people. and talk. He didn't even know half of these people. But he would meet them, and he would sit down, and he would give them his time. Because it meant something to them, because he knew as he gotten older. What he realized was, is they don't have anybody. I remembered a lot. How many people in here remember the Three Stooges? Y'all can raise your hand. Three Stooges. That's right. We used to watch that all the time. Now, there was one in there that I read a story, and somebody wrote a column. This young man went in there, and he visited one of these old folks' homes in Los Angeles, California. And the person that he visited was Mo. He was in the old folks' home, and how he knew was when he pulled the drawer, he saw a picture of him and the other two. And then it dawned on him, he said, surely this can't be the TV star. He was there by himself. But Mo didn't have any family, and he was there by himself. And that is sad. And that's who my dad would visit, because he knew about it. He said, son, you got to realize there's a lot of people in this life that don't have anybody. And that's what he would do. And people knew who he was. But I will tell you this. It ain't because he had money that they knew him. Or if he did, me and Mama never found it when he died. But I'm just saying, but what he had was, is he had a compassion to share and visit and do what he could do for the people. He made up, because he wasn't giving that silver dollar away. That was one thing he was keeping. But he just didn't have it. And guys, we just didn't have it. But this is why the scripture echoes into my mind is this. Verse 1 and 22, it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together, but Yahweh is the maker of them all. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Yahweh creates us. But when it says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, the Father reminded me of this. I call myself a believer of Yeshua. So if I call myself a believer in Yeshua, who am I representing here on this earth? Yeshua. This is why it's not just that I'm to have a great name. I am to make His name great in this earth. That's what this is about. That's what hit me about my dad. My dad, knowing what he was could do as a Christian, what he did was is he did the best he could to try to make His name great in this earth while he walked on it. And I will tell you this, and I'll close with this. My dad, his prayers were answered. Because he says, when I want to go, he was 80 years old when he passed away. He said, when I want to go, I want to go. I don't want to go to no home. I don't want to bother nobody. You know, just want to go. Do what you got to do, but I just want to go. And I know the Father answered his prayers because out of the scriptures, it talked about long life. It talked about all of these things. And the reason why I know he answered his prayers is because whenever he passed away, he looked at my uncle, and my mom's name's Brooksy. And they were both in the room. And Dad just right there just looked at me. He said, Otis was my uncle's name, Uncle Otis. That was his brother. He said, Otis, he said, take care of Brooksy. And he said, Charles Linda Mark. And he passed away. Mom thought he went to sleep because it was later when they come back and asked, where would you want us to send the body? She said, what you talking about? Are y'all transferring him home? They said, I thought you knew he passed away. It was so peaceful. But Yahweh answered his prayer. I was upset. I ain't gonna lie to you. It hurt me. So many times when we go hunting, even though he couldn't climb in that tree stand anymore, I would go hunting up in Leith, Mississippi, and he would be right there in that gate. He would be waiting on me when I'd come out of the stand. He did not want to, he couldn't rest until he knew I was out of the woods. I'm a grown man. I'm climbing up tree stands, and all of that felt like Superman back then. Now I look like Donald Duck, but back then I was doing good. But the thing about it is, but you know, it didn't matter because you know what? I was his son. And he did not want to leave, and then we would go to the Bendale store and get a chicken dinner. Cato knows about them chicken dinners and tater tots, tater logs. Tater logs as big as a, I don't know what, look, a fleet of ships. Now I like the tater babies. But he, it didn't matter. It didn't matter when I went hunting. He was at that gate every time until he passed away. And he was 77 years old when he finally couldn't really get up in the stands any longer. And he couldn't get out there. Cold weather, got his arthritis, you know, got on him a little bit. But these are the things, and it's so funny. You know, Caleb, I remember it's just so funny. And Doug and him, if they would know, he'd say, "Boy, did you see anything?" I said, "Dad, I didn't see a thing." He said, "Let me tell you what you're doing wrong." I said, "Here we go." You know, he's the expert. But he was good. He wouldn't shoot anything because he didn't want to clean it. So anyway, and I'm like, that's the way he was. He got into that place in his life. He said, "Boy, they look good." I said, "Yeah, but you can't taste what they look like." And but we would just go. But these memories, that's why I was saying that. But when he passed away, I mean, he, Tammy, you know, he was in good health. And I'll just tell you what happened to him. He hated the hospital. He hated the hospital as much as I hated that paddle. But he had gangrene set up in his gallbladder because he wouldn't go get it out. And because of that, that's what he got in his system. He got sepsis, and it was too much on his heart. And he passed away. And like I said, it took me a while to accept that. I would accept it because I know Yahweh's sovereign. But boy, in my heart knew it was right. In my head, I was having problems. Because I knew of all the times we were going to miss. And it was real special. Because let me say this other thing too. When I was 18 years old, he was 62 years old. So you can see how many years I got a chance to spend with him. He retired, and I worked offshore every other week. We were together. I saw him every day when I was home. And it was, you see what I'm saying? That's the relationship that was built, and that's why it was hard to let go. And that's why when I tell these stories, but the Father wants me to have this relationship. Like that, if not better. And that's what he wants me to share with you. What do we value? And know that just whatever you have in your life, to know that he, because I'm telling you, once you're dead and gone, this stuff doesn't mean anything. And like I said, the coin I gave Asher is only a dollar. But there's not enough money printed that means more to me than that coin that he has. That's the way the Father wants us to value our relationship. Did you have something? Okay, what she was asking is they took him to the brig, and as they sorted out the story, and he had told them, you know, that there was a commanding officer, he didn't know their name, that he had told him what to do and all of that. And so they said, okay, and then they assigned him to another outfit. They did do that. Whenever he explained what he did, where they went, they checked the train. They checked everything that he said, where he got his supplies from. And when it all checked out, they knew he wasn't trying to run. Because a lot of people there were trying to run and escape. Look, I'm going to tell you something. My dad, and I can't remember, he went over there and he was born in 1922. So he was 20 because he was over there in 42. So he was 20 years old. He was 18, I think, when they called him up and they started doing training and all of that. But Daddy will tell you, you talking about scared kids? They were all scared kids. These were kids over in a foreign country, and you don't know who is who. And you come out of Leith, Mississippi. You know, he graduated in the eighth grade. That's as far as he went, you know. And because he had to go to work to make some money to help feed, because he was the oldest boy of the family. Yeah, out of nine kids, he was the oldest boy. mean as a snake, but he was the oldest boy. I will tell you that. He was mischievous and mean now. All of his aunts and uncles tell me those stories he wouldn't tell. He said he was the golden boy. I said, yeah, he was golden, all right. He was a mess. But you can imagine the way when you're raised. I mean, Grandpa, my granddad made 50 cents a week. Y'all think that's crazy, and I'm telling you stuff that's just out of a crazy book. He made 50 cents a week back in those days at the Depression and all of that. That's just the way it was. It was hard. Stuff was hard to come by. So, but you know what? They were happy because they had family. Let's close in prayer.